يوم يعض الظالم على يداي يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا.
And I ask you for protection on the day when the unjust one will bite his hands, saying, Oh, would that I had taken away with the messenger.
وَأَسْأَلُكَ الْأَمَانَ يَوْمَ يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاصِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ.
And I ask you for protection on the day when the guilty shall be recognized by their marks, so they shall be seized by the forelocks and the feet.
وَأَسْأَلُكَ الْأَمَانَ يَوْمَ لَا يَجْزِي وَالِدٌ عَنْ وَلَدِهِ وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَنْ وَالِدِهِ شَيْئًا إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ.
And I ask you for protection on the day when a father shall not give any satisfaction for his son, nor shall the child give any satisfaction for his father. Surely the promise of Allah is true.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
The fasting of the month of Ramadan is an important pillar of our faith. And all physically fit and mature Muslims are required to fast every day of this month of Ramadan. Fasting is not unique to Islam. It is there in Christianity, in Judaism, even in Hindu and Buddhist tradition. There is this tradition of fasting. However, in Islam, when we talk about fasting, it is more involved in a sense that every day of the month of Ramadan, we have to abstain from dawn to dusk, abstaining from food, even from drinking water. And those who are smokers are not allowed to smoke. But let me now go on to the social dimension of fasting. What is the benefit? Hunger and thirst makes us realize the suffering of the less fortunate members of the society. And when we do this every day, you know, it is going to rekindle this sense of generosity and being helpful towards the poor and the needy in the community as well as the people around the world. When we fast in the afternoon or evening, you know, we start feeling the hunger and thirst. But we still have that assurance at the end of the day, there will be iftar and food on our table. But then we had to realize that there are many people around the world who fast not because it is the month of Ramadan. They are going through fasting because they don't have anything to eat. And they don't have any assurance that at the end of the day, they will have the meal known as iftar. And this you know, realization will surely encourage this element of charity and sharing within us. And this is considered to be the month of charity and sharing.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Around the World with Reporters.
US-led NATO forces are spending their last months in Afghanistan, and this is good news for most American soldiers. They will finally witness the end of their mission in a country historically known as the Graveyard of Empires. This is why the U.S. war in Afghanistan has so far claimed the lives of 90,000 U.S.-led NATO troops and Afghan armed forces. However, military top brass in Kabul insists that there is zero chance of victory for the Taliban through militarism, despite the start of foreign troops withdrawal from Afghanistan on Saturday. This is because the Afghan government is now strong enough to counter terrorist groups on its own and also enjoys high popularity among locals.
The withdrawal of foreign forces has practically started. They will hand over their military bases and some of their military hardware to Afghan forces by the end of this week. We are strong enough and we can safeguard the nation on our own.
In the meantime, the Taliban have not welcomed the troop pullout by Washington, saying the U.S. had agreed to withdraw all foreign military forces from Afghanistan by the May 1st. This has paved the way for the Taliban to legitimize their acts of violence beyond May the 1st. Under such circumstances, civilians will once again turn into the main victims of violence in the war-weary country.
Foreign troops must leave our country, and the Taliban are also expected to respect people's demand, that is the silence of guns. There must be no war among ourselves after the withdrawal of foreign troops, and the Taliban need to realize this reality.
The Taliban are seeking excuses to keep saying no to peace. The postponement of the U.S. military withdrawal has now turned into a good pretext for them to wage more war and kill more defenseless civilians.
The Taliban have vowed to take any possible action because of what they call the violation of the Doha Agreement by Washington, that is the delay in the withdrawal of foreign troops from Afghanistan. However, what remains to be a bitter truth is that not many players seem to be ready to truly help Afghans see a day when there is no war and insecurity in their wounded homeland. Sayed Amin Alami, Kabul.
Pakistan's federal parliament in Islamabad. The lower house of the parliament is preparing to resume a debate on whether or not to expel French ambassador over repeated incident of blasphemy in France against Islam's last prophet Muhammad. However, days before the resumption of parliamentary debate here, the European Union Parliament has come up with what appears to be counter-resolution to pressurize Islamabad to prevent the expulsion of French envoy from Pakistan. The European Parliament has decided to review with Pakistan our trade agreement known as Generalized System of Preferential Plus or GPS Plus over what it calls a rising anti-French sentiments and mistreatment of minorities under blasphemy laws in Pakistan. Under this trade deal, Islamabad gets an estimated annual additional $1.5 billion trade benefits, which are far less than the economic losses Pakistan suffers almost every year because of mass unrest linked with Islamophobia in France. The frequent incidents of blasphemy in France has led to mass unrest across Pakistan.
The European Union is putting pressure on Pakistan, and they want them to weigh and to see whether this decision of expelling the French ambassador from Pakistan, will the government of Pakistan, will the people of Pakistan pay the price? Are they ready?
European Union's concerns go much beyond possibly expelling French ambassador.
Prime Minister Khan has crossed the Rubicon. EU policy towards countries that enable Islamic extremism must be resolute. Withdraw Pakistan's GSP Plus status now.
In an official reaction, Islamabad expressed disappointment with the European Union, pointing out that it reflects a lack of understanding in the context of blasphemy and associated religious sensitivities in Pakistan and elsewhere in the Muslim world.
None of the convict of the blasphemy law was ever executed in Pakistan after successful governments and superior judiciary allegedly buckled under pressure to set convicts free and led them to migrate and settle in Europe. This has led to lynching of 75 under trial prisoners and suspects amid reports of misuse of blasphemy law in isolated cases since 1987 onwards. Javed Rana, Islamabad.
Every year on the 1st of May, protesters fill the streets of cities around the world, marching on what's known as May Day or International Labour Day. Demonstrators usually consist of various groups supporting a wide variety of causes. Yet this year in the UK, activists joined more than 40 protests throughout the country centred around one thing: opposition to the controversial police crime sentencing and courts bill, with the main focus of dissent coming from London.
Most notable to me were the fact that the police, under the powers of this legislation, and this is new, will be able to say that this demonstration, for example, through the noise that it's causing, is causing a nuisance. And if that nuisance is serious, they will be able to arrest people, fine them up to £10,000, and imprison them.
What will be next? That bill comes through, that's just going to be one of a whole range of new policies and things that would just silence any form of criticism.
The new legislation pending in Parliament could allow police to impose conditions on protests, including start and finish times and the imposition of noise limits. This bill would also allow the police to prematurely end a protest if it caused serious annoyance to the surrounding community, organisation and businesses, which demonstrators argue is the whole point of protests.
This bill makes it impossible to have any kind of strike, any kind of picket that has any effect.
Thousands upon thousands have turned up here to defend the right to protest, something Brits up and down the country feel is under threat.
More than 600 civil society and protest groups have called for the government to drop the legislation, and the mobilisation of protesters on the streets has already forced the planned passage through Parliament to be delayed. Yet only time will tell whether the huge protests up and down the country has successfully defeated the anti-protest bill. Ahmed Gabello, London.
Over 300 marches took place and hundreds of thousands demonstrated all over France for May Day to claim more rights for the workers. The COVID crisis is hitting the French economy very hard, but not everybody is equally affected by the crisis. The 40 biggest French companies are doing very well despite the COVID crisis, but they prefer to pay benefits for their shareholders rather than improving working conditions. So the main concern for French trade unions now is to save jobs and to stop companies from firing workers.
The big companies have received a lot of public money without any social ecological conditions to fulfill. Public money cannot be given to companies that fire workers, continue to pollute, companies that relocate. So we demand that strict conditions be imposed before giving public aid to companies.
The COVID crisis has highlighted the importance of ordinary workers for the French economy. Garbage collectors, railway workers, supermarket cashiers, mostly women, home care workers, delivery drivers, and, of course, hospital workers. Their work is now widely considered as essential to keep the economy running. French President Macron promised to re-evaluate their jobs.
Macron just promised a bonus that is not even obligatory. He does not want to increase the minimum wage, and that is for us to reference. The government thinks that the higher salaries will lead to less jobs, but for us it's the opposite. Higher salaries will boost the economy and create more jobs.
The demonstration in Paris was closely monitored by the police. Clashes broke out when more radical demonstrators threw stones and bottles to the police officers, who charged and fired tear gas. There is a lot of frustration among working people. Many blame the French authorities for its disengagement from the public sector, especially the hospital sector, which is crucial to get the coronavirus under control. The anger is still growing among working people. Those at the front line against the coronavirus demand a permanent upgrade of their jobs, salary and working conditions. But the French government, till now, has only paid them bonuses once. Chris Den Hunt, Paris.
Across the world, and even in the United States, people took to the streets to celebrate International Workers' Day, May 1st. The turbulent 2020 saw America reverse 50 years of political apathy. Marchers say the time for the lower and middle classes to unite is now, because the 1% is already united and profiting from soaring post-lockdown inequalities every day.
I do think that there will be a rise of leftism because, you know, when we're able to win certain gains through struggles like Black Lives Matter has, you know, getting Chauvin convicted, that shows the power of the working class to fight for more. And, you know, this is just the beginning of the mobilizations I think we're going to see.
Given the status of Chicago as the ideological center of neoliberal thought, many may be surprised that the epicenter of the very first May Day ever was Chicago. In 1886, 100,000 Chicagoan leftists peacefully took to the streets to demand an 8-hour working day and were met with deadly police violence. The U.S. government failed to replace May Day with an attempt at Law and Order Day, but by 1890, the first International Workers' Day for Unity and Solidarity was declared. The holiday is celebrated in scores of countries and often called Labor Day, but most English-language countries celebrate their own Labor Day in autumn.
This is a day where we're connecting lots of struggles that are important to the workers' movement, right? Immigrants' rights, the defunding the police, the Black Lives Matter explosion of the last year, right? The uprising has shown that there is really a fighting mood within the U.S., the workers' movement in general.
Many 19th-century struggles are still being fought today, such as against the privileges and parasitism created by monarchies. New U.S. President Joe Biden just rejected a $15 per hour minimum wage, even though wages haven't been hiked since 2009 and non-governmental estimates of inflation are 10% annually. Businesses like Amazon are dubbed innovation heroes in the mainstream media, yet are notorious for grueling working conditions. Many marching on May Day also oppose Western liberal democracy, which is often accused of creating and protecting a new aristocracy on the backs of the average worker. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
Another joint commission meeting among the remaining signatories of the Iran nuclear deal, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA, comes to an end in Vienna. Iranian lead delegate, Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi, says an agreement has been reached to remove the majority of individuals and entities on the U.S. sanctions list and that negotiations are continuing on the rest of the names on the list. Araghchi had mentioned earlier that the U.S. has also agreed to lift sanctions on Iran's energy, finance, insurance, automotive and shipping sectors. But Iran is demanding the removal of all U.S. sanctions imposed after the U.S. withdrawal from the deal in 2018, including those imposed under other labels by the Trump administration.
It's a very complicated issue, and as you know, sanctions have different categories, and we have to deal with all of them. Of course, what is our guiding principle is the positions, the firm positions taken by the Islamic Republic of Iran and has been emphasized by the Supreme Leader.
Iran has also steadfastly opposed a step-by-step process, saying it would only go back to full compliance after all U.S. sanctions are lifted and the Islamic Republic verifies their effective removal. Araghchi said delegates are now involved in the time-consuming process of drafting an agreement.
Now we have some texts available to us based on the negotiations we have already made, and now we are working on the words and phrases and sentences and paragraphs.
EU coordinator Enrique Mora said there were moderate advances, adding that with more detail comes more complexity. While the U.S. delegation led by Robert Malley has been engaged in negotiations in Vienna, there's been no direct talks between Iran and the U.S. Delegates have decided to have further consultations in their respective capitals before returning for another joint commission session here at the end of next week. Homa Lezgi, Vienna.
Thousands of Palestinians took to the streets in the Gaza Strip after the Friday prayers in solidarity with Jerusalem al-Quds and its people. The Hamas movement organized a mass rally. The protesters slammed the acts of violence done by Israeli forces in Jerusalem al-Quds and expressed solidarity with Palestinians in the occupied territories.
Jerusalem al-Quds has always been our main cause of conflict and the destination of all the resistance and revolutions. We will not accept the Israeli regime's attempts to Judaize al-Quds by expelling and killing its people and demolishing their houses. Al-Quds is known for its brave men and women.
We are here to stress on our support to protesters in Jerusalem al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque and to tell them that we are here feeling what they feel and we will be all gathered to liberate Palestine and Jerusalem al-Quds. I call on the international community to stand by our people in Al-Aqsa and support them against the inhumane Israeli regime.
The mass rally in Gaza, which occurred for a second Friday in a row, was triggered by Israeli restrictions on Palestinian worshippers in Al-Aqsa Mosque and the regime's crackdown on protesters against the restrictions. The protesters in the Gaza Strip vowed not to remain silent to the Israeli aggression against their brothers and sisters.
This is a message to our people in Jerusalem al-Quds that we will keep supporting and defending you against the Israeli occupation. We won't sit idle until seeing Al-Aqsa free and raising the flags of Palestine in al-Quds. We are all united on the road of resistance against this occupation.
Palestinians consider resistance as the only way to respond to all Israeli violations and the key to liberating the occupied Palestinian territories.
In the middle of the holy month of Ramadan, the historic Jama Mosque in Srinagar, the capital city of Indian-administered Kashmir, wears a deserted look. So are the other religious places across the region. Amid rapid surge in COVID cases, the religious bodies here have suspended congregational prayers and other religious gatherings.
We should understand the present situation. We request everyone to offer prayers at home instead of going to mosques. In this holy month, let's all pray for those affected by this virus and for an end to the pandemic.
Authorities in Kashmir have imposed lockdown to curb a surge in COVID infections and deaths. The announcement to impose lockdown came after the region recorded 700% increase in active COVID infections in this month alone, sending the alarm bells ringing. Officials have already banned gathering of more than four people, but essential services have been exempted from the lockdown. Authorities claim that there is no shortage of oxygen, medicines and COVID vaccine in the region, saying the government is handling the COVID situation effectively. But some people blame authorities for their late response to the pandemic.
There was no robust system of testing at the airport, at the Srinagar airport. And the biggest problem in our case was that the government and the administration here threw open Tulip Garden and organized other Khelo programs, mass gatherings, fashion shows. So this was to showcase normalcy. And in the process, what happened that from 50 odd cases per day, now we are here where we have more than 3,000 cases on a daily basis, and there are 30 plus deaths.
India, the world's second most populous nation, remains in deep crisis as hospitals and morgues are overwhelmed by the pandemic, with medicine and oxygen in short supply and strict limits on movement imposed in the country's largest cities.
The second wave of COVID-19 pandemic is causing a steep rise in the number of infections and posing a huge challenge for health experts and the government here. Experts have warned that the fight against the pandemic is far from over and have urged the people not to drop their guard against the deadly virus. Say the least of Indian-administered Kashmir.
Palestinian refugees and Lebanese factions have held several gatherings in solidarity with Jerusalem al-Quds. Lebanese political representatives denounced the Israeli aggressive practices both in the occupied territories and the besieged Gaza Strip.
So we are here today to say to the world and to especially to the Arab people, not the Arab leaders, that they should unite and stand against what's happening. They should be united against the crimes against humanity we are seeing. Innocent people are being bombarded every day. Innocent kids and people are being killed every day, and nobody's lifting a finger.
Palestinian factions stress that as long as Palestinians are able to protect their historic right to their homeland, then there is no fear that Israel or any collaborators can steal it away.
The battle for al-Quds is a battle on behalf of the entire nation, so the least we can do is to give support to this intifada. This is an extension of several uprisings since 2015 and until today. The occupation forces want to grasp control over the Al-Aqsa Mosque and its surroundings. Palestinian protesters need support, and today we tell them that the Al-Quds is not alone. We saw the support from the West Bank and Gaza to Al-Quds, which shows that Jerusalem Al-Quds won't be left alone.
The speeches noted that all the resistance factions, whether in Lebanon or Palestine, and the entire resistance bloc, united stands with the Palestinian people in their fight for freedom and life.
Your steadfastness is a humiliation to the occupation. We stand with you every single day, and soon we will liberate Palestine.
I tell our brothers in Al-Quds that God is with you, and this means no one can defeat you. I tell all the people of Palestine, hold on, victory is near. You're the rightful owners of this land.
Protests and confrontations broke out in occupied Jerusalem Al-Quds after Israeli authorities decided to break a pledge of respecting the right to worship by forcing their way into Al-Aqsa Mosque's four minarets in order to silence the evening call to prayers. The Israeli violence has evoked anger across the Arab and Muslim worlds.
A salute to Jerusalem Al-Quds and the steadfastness of the Palestinian people in the Holy Land is what Lebanese and Palestinian activists have gathered for today. And despite all blockades and Israeli aggressive policies, they stress that the younger generations will resist more than ever before. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
IRIB English Radio presents The Month of Allah. Let's be with Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
As I look to nature's beauty, dazzled am I, knowing everything calls on you, the Lord Most High.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين. It is the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam. I send you my deepest condolences to all the Muslims in the world. When we talk about Imam Ali alayhi salam, we understand that he is absolutely great. The greater a person is, the more of an ability they have to attract. The stronger a person is, the more they will attract. The Azumat of Imam Ali alayhi salam is so great that many scholars, regardless of what madhab or sect they have, they were attracted to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Many of them wrote different books about the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So we understand that this feeling we have about Imam Ali alayhi salam, it's due to his greatness. There's a tradition that says, لَوْ أَحَبَّنِي جَبَلٌ لَتَحَافَتْ. If a mountain were to love me, it would be destroyed. Why? Because Imam Ali alayhi salam is so great, according to this interpretation, that the greatness of Amir al-Mu'mineen, his hope, his love is so great, it would cause mountains to melt. And this is due to his connection to God. As we said, why is Imam Ali alayhi salam so great in our eyes? Because he is connected, he has such a strong connection to God. When human beings worship God truly, they become great. We look in this tradition that talks about Imam Ali alayhi salam and says that if you were to put all of faith in all of creation on one side, and then you would put the faith of Ali ibn Abi Talib on the other side, the side of Amir al-Mu'mineen, what outweighed the other side of all of creation. This means that his connection to God is the cause of his azumat, is the cause of his greatness. It means that Imam Ali alayhi salam has this beautiful way of allowing us to be guided, that he can pull us up, that he can grab our hands. His stories, his hadith, his Nahj al-Balagha has guided us. This scholar by the name of George Jordaq, he is a Christian, a Lebanese author that wrote about Imam Ali alayhi salam, that he used to run away from school, he says, and would go to somewhere next to the river and would read Nahjul Balagha, the speech and the letters of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the sayings of Imam Ali. He became in love with Imam Ali so much that said, and he would say that if God were to take away all our blessings, to take away whatever he had given us, but instead were to give us one more Ali ibn Abi Talib, it would be worth it. This is the love of Amir Mu'mineen, that it transcends, it's timeless, it's not only limited to followers of the Ahlul Bayt. It's for everybody. Why? Because of his azamat, because of his greatness. His greatness pulls in us and he guides us. Imam Ali alayhi salam, throughout his life, he guided us because of his azamat and his connection to God. Also, after he has passed away, in the hereafter, he guides us and saves us. Because one of the meanings of guidance means isal ila al-matloob. It means taking to what is desired. In this tradition that I'll read for you, Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Messenger of Allah asked Jibreel, how will his nation pass the narrow bridge? Because the Messenger of God was worried about how people would pass Sirat, the narrow bridge. And Jibreel says, God sends him your salams and says, surely you will pass with my light. That the Messenger of God will pass with the light of God. And that Ali ibn Abi Talib will pass the Sirat with your light. That with the light of Rasulullah, Imam Ali will pass the Sirat. But your nation will pass the bridge with the light of Ali. The nation of Prophet Muhammad will pass through the light of Imam Ali by the Sirat. The light of your nation is from the light of Ali. The nur that your ummah has is from the light of Ali. And the light of Ali is from your light. Imam Ali's light is from Prophet Muhammad. And your light is from the light of God. Then he says this sentence, which is showing us the greatness of Ali ibn Abi Talib. لَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ جَوَازٍ. In everything there is a permission. وَجَوَازُ الصَّرَاطِ, and the permission to pass the Sirat, the narrow bridge, which under it is hell. حُبَّ Ali ibn Abi Talib is the love of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. So the more we love Ali ibn Abi Talib, the more that we will have a good life in this world, and the more of a chance there is that we will pass through the Sirat and enter heaven. May we, inshallah, keep each and every one of us in prayers in this holy day, and may we, inshallah, increase in our love of Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله إن عليا مني وأنا منه وهو ولي كل مؤمن بعدي.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi said, certainly Ali is from me and I am from him, and he is the custodian of every believer.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Martyrdom of the symbol of justice. In the name of God, the all-merciful, the all-compassionate, salam and welcome to the program, and heartfelt condolences to you all on the one of the most tragic days in the history of mankind. Today, the 21st of Ramadan, is the anniversary of the martyrdom of Imam Ali, peace upon him, the person who had no peers and whom God Almighty had made second in merits to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. A millennium and four centuries have passed since his departure from the mortal world, and yet, Imam Ali, peace upon him, remains immortal for all believers who continue to pay homage to him, whatever the circumstances, including the current coronavirus pandemic plaguing the world. He was the embodiment of justice, and this was among the causes of enmity towards him by certain people, who finally conspired to martyr the person who founded the only administration of social justice in history. Stay with us for a special feature in this regard. Tonight has passed away a person who was the first among the early believers in good actions, nor did any later Muslims will attain his level in good actions. He waged jihad alongside the Prophet of God, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, to protect him with his own life. The Prophet of God, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, used to send him forward with his standard, while Gabriel supported him on his right and Michael supported him on his left. He would not return until God brought victory through his hands. He, peace upon him, has departed on this, the night on which Jesus, son of Mary, was raised by God to the heavens, and on which Joshua, son of Nun, the testamentary trustee of Moses, peace upon him, died. He left no gold or silver except 700 dirhams with which he had intended to provide his household a servant. What you heard were the words of Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace upon him, on the 21st of Ramadan, while lowering in grave for eternal rest his martyred father, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. Following the fatal blow, the commander of the faithful was struck on his blessed head on the 19th of Ramadan by the poison-soaked sword of Ibn Muljam in the year 48. Imam Ali, peace upon him, needs no introduction. He is the person who had no peers and whom God Almighty had made second in merits to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. As we said earlier, a millennium and four centuries have passed since his departure from the mortal world, and yet Imam Ali, peace upon him, remains immortal for all believers who continue to pay homage to him, whatever the circumstances, including the current coronavirus pandemic plaguing the world. He was the embodiment of justice, and this was among the causes of enmity towards him by certain people, who finally conspired to martyr the person who founded the only administration of social justice in history. It is indeed an irony of Islamic history that on the 21st of Ramadan, the second of the three probable grand nights, the grand man, Imam Ali, peace upon him, who was second only to the best of creation, that is, his cousin, the Prophet of Islam, achieved martyrdom, having been struck a fatal sword blow on his head while performing the morning ritual prayer in the Grand Mosque of Kufa by Khawarij progenitors of modern-day Takfiri terrorists. It could be called the martyrdom of the spirit of the Noble Quran, in view of the famous statement of the Prophet, who decades earlier had foretold his dear cousin, son-in-law, and divinely designated heir of the tragedy he would suffer in Ramadan, as recorded by all prominent narrators, including Sunni and Shia. Indeed, Ali is with the Quran, and the Quran is with Ali. The two will never separate, even when they return to me at the pool of Kothar in paradise. Anyone who attempts to write something about Imam Ali, peace upon him, will admit that he was a perfect man of God, obedient to the Creator in all aspects of life, to the extent that he would not even entertain the idea of committing the minutest act of disobedience. His famous words continue to ring in our ears. By Allah, even if I am given all the domains of seven stars with all that exists under the skies, in order that I may disobey Allah to the extent of snatching one grain of barley from an ant, I would not do it. For me, the world is lighter than the leaf in the mouth of a locust that is chewing it. Imam Ali, peace upon him, was indeed a paradigm of piety and excelled all others in the worship of God, as he himself had said, "O people, I do not impel you to any obedience unless I practice it before you, and I do not make you refrain from any disobedience unless I desist from it before." He lived according to the commandments of God and in accordance with the Sunnah Sirah, or practice and behavior of the Prophet. Because of his commitment to these factors, he refused to accept the caliphate after the death of the second caliph, Umar ibn Khattab, when the condition spelled by the sixth man council was that the next caliph should be bound to the policy set by the first two caliphs. Yeah. Although justice is regarded as a much-cherished humanitarian principle, there are very few who really adhere to justice and practice justice. History bears witness that persons in power show respect for justice and implement justice as long as it is in their interest. Justice in the lexicon of such persons has limits. As for Imam Ali, peace upon him, justice had a transcendental meaning where self-interest ceased to exist. He was the epitome of the just ruler and spared no effort for the implementation of justice. When he heard that the agents of the rebel Muawiyah, Ibn Abi Sufyan, had plundered the city of Anbar and snatched the jewelry from the women, including those non-Muslims living under the protection of Islam, he said, "If any Muslim dies of grief after all this, he is not to be blamed, but rather there is justification for him before." On another instance, the Imam said, "By Allah, I would rather like to pass the night in wakefulness on the thorns of Sa'dan or to be driven in chains as a prisoner than meet Allah and His Prophet on the Day of Judgment as an oppressor over any person or a usurper of anything out of the worldly wealth. And how can I oppress anyone for the sake of a life? What is fast moving towards destruction and is to remain under the earth for a long time." This lofty sense of justice for restoring people their denied rights, if it endeared him to the oppressed masses, it made the oppressors his open enemies. The commander of the faithful was determined to restore to the public treasury the wealth of the Muslim that the previous caliph, Uthman ibn Affan, had distributed among his supporters, who were now the wealthiest people. Imam Ali, peace upon him, has said in this regard, "By Allah, even if I had found that by such money women have been married or slave mates purchased, I would have resumed it because there is wider scope in dispensation of justice. And he who finds it hard to act justly should find it harder to deal with injustice." This is how Imam Ali, peace upon him, spelled out his state policy. But those who had prospered under the previous administration due to rampant favoritism, nepotism, and other forms of corruption felt alarmed and became obstacles to the implementation of justice in the Islamic society. Despite being the ruler of a realm extending from Central Asia to North Africa, Imam Ali, peace upon him, never forsook the company of the poor and the destitute, and would even join them for meals at times. When he appointed governors and other officials for the far-flung provinces, his first and foremost instruction was to cater to the needs of the masses of common people and to respect their rights. He used to remind his officials by saying, "Certainly your assignment is not a morsel for you, but it is a trust around your neck." A brief radio program cannot do justice to Imam Ali, peace upon him, whom the Prophet had described as the criterion to discern faith from hypocrisy. Here is a passage from some of the several letters by the Commander of the Faithful addressed to the chief hypocrite, Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan, the rebel governor of the province of Syria, who was a heathen at heart and had imposed the disastrous war of Siffin. "May Allah protect me and may withhold me from behaving towards mankind the way you have behaved and from tyranny, exploitations, and murders that you commit. You have misguided the whole generation of men around you. Having no faith in the truth of Islam, you have led others astray. You have thrown them in the depth of ignorance. Apostasy and avariciousness have taken a firm hold of your mind. Your intelligence is of inferior order, and you cannot differentiate what in the end is good for you and what is not. Let us, you and I, have a single combat. Let it be a combat unto death. Let the soldiers of both armies stand aside, and let two of us alone combat with each other. Let the world see and realize who is the sinner and who has forgotten Allah and the Day of Judgment. Will you accept this invitation of mine? Have you the courage for it? Are you a man to face death boldly and bravely, or are you merely a vampire sucking the blood of others superstitiously? So strong was the sense of justice of Imam Ali, peace upon him, that even on his deathbed, he instructed his son and successor Imam Hassan, peace upon him, to arrange food for his imprisoned assassin, Ibn Muljam. And when the wretch was brought before him, he ordered the loosening of his bonds and offered him the milk he was drinking. Imam Ali, peace upon him, was laid to rest in the dead of night in Najaf near Kufa, beside the graves of the prophets Adam and Noah, peace upon them, where today the grand golden-domed mausoleum stands as site of pilgrimage for devotees from all over the world.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked in
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir
لذا امام باقر فرمود با این سوره با مخالفین ما بحث کنید، بگید ملائکه وقتی پایین میان کجا میان؟ بر روح. چه روحی؟ روح معصوم. پس معلوم میشه معصوم در عالم هست.
Imam al-Baghir, regarding the importance of Surah Al-Qadr, stated, debate the enemies of Ahlul Bayt based on Surah Al-Qadr. Now, what is the reason for this? The main reason, according to this Imam, is the presence of an infallible Wali on earth. Based on the fourth verse of Surah Al-Qadr, the angels descend, and because they are immaterial beings, they are the closest entities to Allah. So they have to descend on the being which has the capacity to accept them on the earth. And that entity is nothing but the sacred presence of the infallible Wali of Allah on earth. We do not know what exactly happens when the angels descend on the soul of the infallible Wali of Allah on the earth. This is natural because we are not given that type of knowledge.
این دیگه خود ولی الله میداند و خدایی که براش این مهمانی و ضیافت رو ترتیب داده.
This is the secret between Allah and his Wali. We only can benefit from the remaining blessings of the night of Qadr, and the major blessings is the high level of spirituality which is given to us on that night. Now, the main banquet of Allah is prepared for his Wali, and his remaining graces of that banquet comes to us little by little. We are like the beneficiary of the generosity of Allah's banquet on the night of Qadr. We are the beneficiary of the banquet of Allah for Ahlul Bayt on the night of Qadr. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
We are with you. What about you?